You're listening to Sphera Now, a podcast for environmental health, safety, and quality professionals around the globe. This is brought to you by Sphera, the largest global provider of integrated risk management software and information services with a focus on environmental health and safety, operational risk, and product stewardship. Now, let's get started.
Hello and welcome to Sphera Now. I'm your host, Ellen Bremseth, and I'm joined today by Catherine Horn. Thanks for joining the podcast, Catherine.
Thanks so much for having me.
So for our listeners, a little bit of background on Catherine. Catherine is a senior consultant at HUCO Consulting with more than 8 years of experience implementing environmental health and safety data management systems. Her clients have a worldwide footprint and represent a variety of industries, including oil and gas, petrochemical, utilities, and transportation. As a solutions expert, her role is to guide clients from software selection to a successful software deployment, and to continue to support businesses as they manage the change. Catherine also just led a very insightful Sphera-hosted webinar on successfully implementing an incident management software solution. So, Catherine, are you ready to chat some more about incident management?
Yes, definitely.
Awesome. So let's start with the basics. What are some of the benefits of using an incident management system?
Yeah, so an incident management system offers many benefits over a process that relies on telephone reporting or paper incident reporting forms. An IMS application offers a centralized location for logging, storing, and accessing data. And so incidents and near misses can be logged via a standardized process. And you can usually add corrective action plans, tasks, et cetera, to those incidents. So you can start to make changes based on the data that you're collecting. Usually an IMS system also allows you to set up automated alerts and notifications, to schedule and distribute reports, and really to analyze and learn from your data in a way that you can't do if you're just keeping track of pieces of paper. It also offers workflows and audit trails so you can understand who's the incident and what steps remain to resolve that incident.
So really getting the big picture feel as opposed to kind of like siloed information?
Exactly. Really capturing the whole work process from collecting data about the incident to taking corrective action and making changes based on the data that you find in your incident reporting.
So what are some of the mistakes companies make when trying to implement an incident management system?
You know, I've been working in this area for many years, like you said, and I have been part of a few projects that have really struggled to get across the finish line and to go live with their new system. And usually these challenges have stemmed from two areas. The first is that the buy-in just isn't there. And that can be the disagreement maybe within the project team, or it can be a lack of support from management. And when that exists, it's really hard to be successful because the project participants and leaderships do not share common goals and a vision for the project. The other common problem that I've seen is not designing with the end in mind. And what I mean by this is that the design of the system should be driven by what you want to do with the system. So what reports do you want to see? What data analysis do you want to be able to do? What incident data needs to be collected so that everybody can do their job? So when the project team doesn't design with the end goals in mind, it's really easy to get off track and go down rabbit holes or to omit something crucial from your design.
So you mentioned that one of the big problems is the lack of buy-in from management. Do you have any suggestions on kind of how to give the value of this and get that buy-in from management?
What I've done in the past is when management is not on board, we really do as much as we can to give our clients the tools to make their case for the project and to show the value of the work the entire project team is doing. And so if we're already underway and there's just not that support from the top, what we'll try to do is give our clients, arm them with information like ROI statistics, or we can even show a demo of what we've accomplished so far. And another thing that we try to do is provide some mock-up reports to show the type of information and the type of analysis that we'll be able to do and get out of the system once the implementation is complete.
So would you say those are some of the best guidelines to get these projects back on track when issues do occur?
Yeah, for the management, I think it's just as giving them as much information as possible to help them see the value. And for getting back on track, if you find that your design is going down rabbit holes, we ask our clients to provide as much information as possible about what they want to be able to do with the system. So we're always pushing them to think about what is the end? You know, what design with that end in mind. So we ask them for what reports do they want to be able to get out? What type of data analysis do they want to do? And we also ask our clients to provide information about their as-is state. So what are they doing today? Are there existing incident reporting forms that they're using? Are there existing notification processes in place? So we can look at what they're doing today to identify gaps between their as-is state and what they need the system to do, or the to-be process. And that helps us catch maybe some of the things that could be missed, like a notification to the claims department or something like that. So even with that, sometimes a key need is missed. And so we occasionally run into that situation where we catch it not during the design phase, but later down the line. So as you know, we're always trying to support our clients. And so we try to add that functionality in that they need as soon as we can. So if we find something during user acceptance testing, we try to resolve it before go live. Or if it's not caught until the go live and it's user feedback driven, then we'll work with our clients to do some kind of post go live enhancement to add in the functionality that they need.
What are some other tips to ensure project success?
I think another key is to keep in mind that your go live is really just another starting line. So there are many steps that you can take during your design and build phases to make sure your project will be successful after you go live. One key area that's often overlooked is documentation. You know, when you're busy in the middle of the project, it's really easy to forget to take diligent notes to document the decisions that you're making and what you're planning to do. So we always try to, during our design workshops, document as much as we can. Sometimes this means recording audio of design discussions. Sometimes it means recording video of screen sharing or demos, whether it's by the software company or by the implementation partner. And whenever we're documenting our design decisions, we make sure not only to document what the decision is, but why we made that decision. And the goal is that you can come back and you can revisit those notes and understand months down the line, years down the line, why you did the things you did. Furthermore, after the workshop and before the build phase, we take the design workshop notes that we have and we create formal design documents. And those will explain how the system will be configured. And we do that those design documents in a manner that everybody can understand. So the client gets it, the implementation partner gets it, and we try to get sign-off from everyone, the client, the implementation partner, and the software provider. And with those diligent documentation steps, our goal is always to create a lasting guide that can be revisited down the line if a client wants to do more work in-house or onboard new employees, get support from the software company, plan for an upgrade, etc. They already have the structure in place to understand where they're at with their current system.
Is there any other advice you want to share for someone considering or in progress on an IMS implementation?
Yeah, my last piece of advice is that I regularly remind my clients to keep it simple. And again, remember that the project doesn't stop at go live. So during the design, identify what's truly a requirement and what is actually a nice to have feature. So if something's a nice to have and it could require customization or a lot of complexity, consider whether that issue could be addressed through a simpler design and maybe more user training and bridge the gap between, you know, the responsibility of the user without overly customizing your system. If that's not possible, then maybe consider postponing that feature until after go live when you can determine if it's truly necessary based on the feedback that you're getting from your users. Really, no system's going to be 100% perfect at go live. Mm-hmm. So it's best to keep it simple when you're planning for your go live and then use the user feedback to guide the enhancements that you do after go live instead of implementing something really complex and customized without having the real world justification to support that kind of cost and customization.
Yeah, like why, you know, try to do all of this work if you don't even know if it's going to be really beneficial, and especially got to do all those testings.
Exactly. I mean, customizations can be expensive and they can be kind of difficult to manage because you're no longer using the standard product. You're doing something a little bit different. It can be tough to plan for upgrades or to get the support that you need. So you should approach the customization with a lot of caution. and always be questioning whether you really need that complexity, and keep it simple wherever you can.
Keep it simple is usually a good way to live life in general.
Yeah, well, definitely.
That is all the time we have for this episode of Sphera Now. For more information and insights on incident management, you can watch Catherine's webinar on demand at sphera.com. So go to sphera.com. Then you'll go up to the top tab. You'll select resources, then webinars, and then you can search for incident management, or you could manually look. I think at the moment it's on page 2, but don't quote me on that. But just thank you again so much for being a part of this podcast today, Catherine. Loved having you, loved learning from you. And to all of our listeners, hope you tune in again next week.
Great. Thanks, Alan.
Thank you, Catherine.
This concludes the episode of Sphera Now. For more content on topics such as these, we encourage you to visit sphera.com, sphera.com. While there, feel free to click contact and submit any feedback on this podcast or any topics you'd like to see us cover. Thank you, and have a great rest of your day.